CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Protests continue across the country in response to President Donald Trump's executive order on immigration, detaining travelers from seven Muslim countries. KDKA-TV's Bob Allen reporting from Pittsburgh.
Everyone is welcome here.
At Pittsburgh International Airport, protesters speaking out against President Donald Trump's executive order banning Muslims from seven countries.
We are a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of many religions and faiths. And to keep people out, that's just not what America is about.
Jamal Saleh, a U.S. citizen from Yemen, just arrived from Washington. He says his brother's wife and seven children were detained even though they had approved visas.
They placed them in isolation in a small room and treated them as people who may have committed a crime.
Similar stories being told by others from those countries.
It was questioned two times regarding my place of birth, which is Iran, and regarding my work. Even they ask about my Facebook, about my Twitter. They have seized my mobile phone, and they have checked my Twitter.
Is all this legal? Attorneys general in 15 states think not. Federal judge ordering a stay. CBS News Justice reporter Paula Reed.
This is ripe for Supreme Court review. The White House would argue that the president has the discretion to take actions to protect national security, but advocates for these immigrants would argue that he has gone too far and that Congress has prohibited the president or anyone else from banning immigration groups specific to a country.
Now, because of all this, more than 1,000 flight delays coming into and going out of the U.S., who thinks this executive order is a good thing? James Carafano, Vice President, Foreign and Defense Policy Heritage Foundation.
When the administration put the rule in effect, they were weighing the knowledge that that might happen against the responsibility they had to prevent a terrorist attack. So while somebody might be inconvenienced and not be able to take a flight the next couple of days, they're weighing that against the concern of, well, there might be a terrorist attack and, you know, people might be killed and have to mourn their family.
In addition to other flight issues, Delta is now grounding its domestic flights, it says, because of automation issues. Looking forward to more news to come out of the White House, like a Supreme Court nominee, spokeswoman Kellyanne Conway telling Fox News.
If passed as prologue, the way that Democrats in the Senate have treated our cabinet nominees does not bode well for filling that vacancy left by Antonin Scalia. It's just been terrible the way they tried to humiliate and embarrass our cabinet nominees.
SAG Awards, CBS's Steve Futterman.
A pair of Oscar favorites have solidified their positions with wins here tonight at the SAG Awards. Viola Davis has won Best Supporting Actress for her role in Fences, and Mahershala Ali has won Best Supporting Actor for Moonlight. We have had some political comments tonight. Julia Louis-Dreyfus won Best Actress in a TV comedy series. In her acceptance speech, she called the Trump administration's new immigration policies un-American.
This is CBS News.
Attention. Do you have outstanding federal student loans? Then get ready for a special free offer. Graduate Service Center wants to give you free information to see if you qualify for one lower monthly payment or student loan forgiveness. The call is free, the information is free, and there's absolutely no obligation. See if you qualify for lower monthly payments or loan forgiveness. Call now. 800-801-4950. That's 800-801-4950. Don't wait. Call now. 800-801-4950.
Is credit card debt ruining your life? Now you can have a large portion of your credit card debt forgiven. Get Relief Today wants to give you free information that shows you how. This program is proven to work for credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt. We'll give you the secret to this money-saving program absolutely free. 800-207-8558. That's 800-207-8558. That's 800-207-8558.
KCTV's Storm Track 5 forecast. The accurate forecast you've come to trust.
As we head through the evening and overnight forecast, we will see some gradual clearing. Temperatures bottom out in the upper 20s to near 30. Monday's a gorgeous day. A lot of sunshine and much warmer with a high up to 56. A couple spots may challenge 60 to the southwest. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Chris Suchin.
When was the last time you had a really good night's sleep? Well, now you can with MyPillow.com. And this is the best offer ever. It's for a limited time through the end of January. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code KCMO, and you get two standard queen MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. These are the ones you can travel with for just $99.98. MyPillow.com, promo code KCMO. You get not one, not two, not three, but four for the price of one. Two standard queen MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows for just $99.98. Check it out, MyPillow.com.
Greg,
cap.
Are we getting a little bit overboard here that we're now going to have the state decide the joint custody of your pet and how long this one gets to see Fluffy and how long this one gets to see Fluffy? And then what happens? Do we need supervised visitation with Fluffy if Fluffy comes back and seems a little out of sorts? And how do we make sure which one is best for Fluffy? Are we going to have the dog psychiatrist see Fluffy to say, well, Fluffy actually likes the mother better than the father, but Fluffy can't say that because Fluffy doesn't want to hurt the father's feelings? I mean, how far are we going to go?
The Greg Knapp Experience.
The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of Cumulus Media and FM 103.7 and AM 710 KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious.
It's amazing how that works. There's so much stuff going on. UFO, Bigfoot, you know, there's just a lot of cool stuff happening right now, and I don't know where to start, but I will anyway. Big news is that finally a sci-fi film cleans up with the Oscar nominations.
Now that's a proper introduction.
More objects have landed around the world.
This is one of 12.
I'm never going to be able to speak their words.
Got 2 days. Figure something out.
I am human.
It's their language. We need to make sure that they understand the difference between a weapon and a tool. Language is messy, and sometimes one can be both.
Are you dreaming in their language?
If not, a weapon and a tool is the best outtake of that film. If not the best comment of the year. Because if you haven't seen it yet, it's worth seeing. Coming back out on the big screen, and they've added a little bit more footage to it with some of the outtakes and some movie-making process. So it's, and there are a lot of people out there singing, please, 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 come visit us. Come on, we're ready. We need a diversion. I can't remember. I think... I'm hoping Oliver Christensen did this. He's a cartoonist, was a cartoonist for Hallmark, and one of the little cartoons that he did was the guy running on the ground following the UFO going, please, take me, take me. No, you're ugly. I was like, oh, that was really rude. Aliens, they can be blunt, okay? So anyway, big weekend for all sorts of extracurricular activity, earthquake stuff going on in California, making people just a little shaky, quaky, uncomfortable in all sorts of ways. Apparently, a swarm, 250 small earthquakes, and they've since New Year's. Okay, so they've got a bunch of quakes going on, and then not only adding a little bit more fear to that, the supervolcano on the brink of eruption. 23 volcanoes erupting as of January 19th around the world, and there's one big guy on the brink. This is one, the North Korean 9,000-feet supervolcano, Mount Paktu. And it's right between North Korea and China. They say this could be really, really bad. Something like we haven't seen for 1,000 years, which means none of us has seen this. Well, I hope. Unless you're one of those time travelers who keeps coming back for more. Lord knows why. What have you done this time? Okay, quit it. Quit it. You're not helping. And then we've got some other stuff going on, too. The Twilight Zone, coming back, there's a lot of, if you just, you know, do a Google search and find out all your old shows, you find out they're somewhere on YouTube. And the whole kit and caboodle, you never have to leave the house again. One of them, the episode, I'll post it, Third from the Sun, fabulous. It's a classic. Scientists who, they get really upset because there's a whole lot of H-bomb activity, ours, and on the planet. And they're going to leave, and they have to go somewhere else. And if I tell you where they go, that'll spoil the entire show. So I won't do that. Animals in the news. Oh, man. Heartbreaking. Did you see the one about the dog who followed his best friend to the grave? And apparently they had been really, really good buddies. And the guy had an illness that left him paralyzed, 79. So he died in Turkey. In the last 2 years of his life, he'd been with Caesar, constant companion, and the dog shows up at the event, and he stays right there. He leads them to the cemetery, and he continues to visit. And he stays with the man's son now, and he said he would let him out in the morning, and he would disappear for a while. And he finally figured out he was going to the cemetery to visit his old bud. So anyway, he says that he's got a permanent home with him, but it's just incredible to watch. And you see his posture when he's under the casket is raised, and he's under there, and he looks very reverent, very just extraordinary. There's a theme. There's another cat who was quite a celebrity at a supermarket. And it gives you an idea where it was when they call him the trolley. The cat used to follow the trolley to the car. Well, that's their supermarket little, I don't know what else you would call it besides, you know, a supermarket trolley. I think that just sounds so romantic. Anyway, in England. And the cat would be there at the store, loved everybody, would always, you know, wander down the pet food aisle just in case something dropped. And the cat had been diagnosed with a kidney disease in 2013. Hung on. I mean, it's pretty good. Just died recently. And so they've got a crowdfunding effort now to raise money for a statue to be there at the store. So, I mean, we love our pets. We love our animals. I just thought those were great stories. But I wanted to end up with something positive. And so Miscellanea, one of the blogs I follow, there's some good stuff out there. She had one she titled Alone Time. And there's a picture. And the hallway is just filled with, well, for one thing, there's a little childproof ladder. No one can go upstairs. No one includes one large, looks like a golden lab, three tabby-type cats, and one small, maybe two-year-old. And they're all congregated outside the door. And the husband has posted here on Instagram, "So my wife wanted some alone time. This was outside her door." All right, went to Float this week, and I tell you what, a lot of stuff going on. If you have not tried Floating, Floating KC is a local one. You probably have one near you, wherever you are, if you're listening to this on the podcast. WendysCoffeeHouse.com, that's where I'm going to post after the show. The thing about it is that they really recommend it for post-traumatic stress and stuff like that, and for just general alleviation of anxiety. It works wonders, wonders. So this week, when I'm floating and the ideas come, I got two of them that were really very practical. One is, and it's along the line of don't panic. What that idea is, that just came to me with a Hitchhiker's Guide. But it has to do with being, patient, perseverant. And that was along the same line that it also said courage. I thought, well, there's an interesting, but it had to do with just being a lot more conservative with your thoughts, not jumping to conclusions and not going off the deep end. And that was one that I thought, well, okay, and this is what happens when you float. You have these out-of-body experiences. Because the other part of that was I was turned around looking down and looking at everything with my eyes closed. And it was pretty trippy, okay? So I could recommend it. You don't need drugs. Up next, somebody who's had some pretty trippy experiences, and I'm all across the board. She's been a crop circle researcher for years, and I've talked with her before. I think she's got some fabulous information, and we're going to talk with her about what she's discovering with a guy who's had some extraordinary metaphysical, paranormal, supernatural experiences with crop circles. Nancy Talbot, my guest, coming up next on Talk Radio KCMO.
FM 103.7 and AM 710. Stimulating talk. KCMO.
HelloFresh delivers recipes and ingredients for a home-cooked meal in around 30 minutes. Like this recipe. Start with a working couple. Add two demanding jobs. Mix all too well. Receive HelloFresh delivery. Trim off temptation to order pizza. Follow step-by-step recipe until holy ravioli, you can add mushroom ravioli gratin to your resumes. Fist bump and enjoy. Delicious ingredients you'll love to eat. Simple recipes you'll live to cook. HelloFresh. Get cooking. Get $20 off your first delivery plus free shipping at HelloFresh.com/radio.
Getting a great night's sleep is easier and more affordable than you might think. You don't need a new expensive mattress or sleeping pills. You just need to change your sheets. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. What makes Boll & Branch sheets different is that they're meticulously crafted from pure 100% organic cotton. And because we only sell online, we've cut out all of the expensive retail markups. Plus, if you go to BollandBranch.com today, we'll give you $50 off your first set of sheets when you use promo code SALT. soft. BollandBranch.com. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code soft.
Let's agree with President Bill Clinton. Welfare to work is a good thing.
This is the Free Market Minute with Tim Jones.
The Show Me State's welfare programs are ranked the worst in America. President Bill Clinton famously championed bipartisan entitlement reform known as welfare to work to get more people back into the workforce. Missouri needs massive welfare reform. Bloated welfare rolls cause increased stress and demand on every other able-bodied, hardworking taxpayer. Working people must produce more and more for the ever-increasing burden of those who would rather live off government handouts. Missouri needs welfare work requirements and must enforce eligibility rules. More Missourians will experience greater economic freedom and prosperity when less, not more, workers are off the welfare rolls and back in the workforce.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
FM 1037 and AM 710. Stimulating talk. KCMO.
Okay, we're going to shift gears because this stuff happens. Yeah? You never know when you're going to run into a paranormal anomaly. And if you're around a guy named Robert, it happens a lot. But Nancy Talbot was already doing crop circles research for years with a guy named Levengood. Nancy, I'm so glad you're available to talk about this stuff because this is a great time to get into this with everything that's going on. So thank you. Thank you for taking time to connect.
You're welcome. It is a real pleasure on my part. The only problem being that the one television show of the entire week that I like happens to run at exactly the same time.
That is not fair. What's your show?
Madam Secretary, I love it.
Oh, okay, Nancy, you're going to have to get the download.
Anyhow, I'm delighted to be on and have some very interesting things that I wanted to talk about, some of which I've not spoken about publicly at all. So where do you want to start with our cognitive dissonance discussion?
Okay, well, first we're going to explain why we got off on that tangent, because I think that's a perfect intro with the cognitive dissonance, because of the stuff you and I believe and that we've talked about and that you've had experience with. And it's on the fringe, on the edge, and some, you know, far fringe. But that doesn't mean it isn't possible and it isn't experienceable. So with the cognitive dissonance has to do with it's tough to believe things that are outside your own whatever it is, paradigm, your own mindset, and
your own experience, your own belief system, all of those things. All of us, of course, depending on where we were born and raised and whatever, develop an outlook, a point of view, a basic concept of reality that tends to, as we grow older, you tend to look for things that actually reinforce that concept or idea. Very few people search for things that would stretch it or enlarge it. And as we go along in life, we periodically, almost everybody, runs into something, usually lots of somethings, that challenge those original ideas, but which seem reasonable, you know, something worth thinking of. And what we find in psychology is that when people are faced with two very different, separate ideas, both of which seem to be important, one of which they may have lived with most of their lives, but something new that comes in that has supportive evidence which they take seriously, but is at total odds with everything they thought before, mm-hmm. That is what causes what we call cognitive dissonance. It's this terrible difficulty in the brain where you're trying to make the two fit and you can't find a way to make that happen.
Okay. Now, you've been with BLT Research, which studied crop circles. Now, that, again, that's going to be...
Which studies scientifically crop circles. That's the critical point here.
Okay.
You know, the idea for the first 10 years of my involvement in the circle phenomenon was studying with scientists, bona fide professional scientists, the plants and soils, looking for changes, you know, abnormalities in them that would help us understand the energies involved in creating them. And though the first 10 years or so, that was my absolute basic focus. And we were discovering, as you know, all kinds of physical changes to the plants and soils that could not be caused by mechanical flattening with planks and boards, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then here we are publishing scientific papers about all this and feeling like we're beginning to have some understanding of this strange phenomenon. And into my life walks, this is my cognitive dissonance walking smack into my face when I got a call from the Netherlands about, at that time, a very young boy, 16, 17 years old at the time, who was watching, had seen multiple crop circles form underneath light bulbs. And the science work, you see, did not involve light bulbs.
No, not at all.
And it was, I didn't take it seriously at first. I mean, I made notes about it. It was a good field worker who had called me. But I didn't really pay attention until the following year, which was 1997. I got another call from the same field worker telling me that this kid, Robert Vandenbroek, had had a huge light ball approach the balcony of his house. The house backs up to a farm field, and there's a little balcony off of his bedroom on the second floor. And he and his sister had been up there in the room listening to music or something, and this huge ball of light appeared, scared them half to death. They went running downstairs to get the parents. They come back up. The ball of light's gone, but there's this pile of white powder sitting on the balcony floor outside the doors. Doors are glass. And when they went out onto the balcony, they could see that the eaves overhanging the balcony and the outsides of the doors had burn marks and, you know, this pile of white powder. And so the way I got involved in all of this was that the parents, who were very typical, you know, middle-class family, not into bizarre things at all, wanted that white powder analyzed. They wanted to know what it was.
Yeah.
And so we were called because we have the scientists who can do the analysis, and we did the analysis, and I sent the paper back, the results back to the father. And the next year, I was in Amsterdam doing a series of lectures in Europe about our work and met the parents because they came to the lecture in Amsterdam with Robert. And that was the beginning, because what happened immediately after the lecture, it just happened that I did go and stay with them. I had a couple of days before I had to do my next lecture. And the father, who was a bank manager, these are, you know, very serious, regular people, had asked me if I would come and spend a couple days, if I could, because they were so upset. They were so worried about the things that they had been witnessing, and they wanted explained, and thinking that because of my connections with the science world, that I might be able to help with this, they wanted me to come and visit. And I did. And the very first night in that house, the beginning of my personal dealings with cognitive dissonance occurred. The parents and I had this funny feeling not to go to bed. I'm a night person anyhow. I wrote it off completely to the fact that I'm a night person, and I just wasn't sleepy yet. But I had a very strong sense not to go to bed. And the parents, who were perfect hosts, they wouldn't go to bed either, of course, until I did.
You're keeping everybody up.
You know, that's not polite. So the three of us were sitting downstairs in the living room, which is at the back of the house, facing out and onto a small garden behind which is the farm field. And we were simply chatting. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning, I think, and suddenly they were telling me about various things that had been going on around Robert that I hadn't heard about, and all of which were very strange. But I had no reason not to believe them. I was just listening. And suddenly this tingling started around my waist, around my entire body, but at my waist, I was sitting in a chair. And it started moving up my back and my front and my arms, getting more intense as it did. And when it got to up to my neck, it had become really uncomfortably intense, might be the way to put it. I got scared. I mean, I didn't know what it was. I'd never felt anything like that before. And in my mind, I didn't say this out loud, in my mind, I thought, the hell with science, I'm getting out of here.
And what does his parents do? Are they feeling the same thing?
Well, yeah, I'll get there. So before I could say anything, the instant I had that thought in my mind, the tingling stopped completely. And this light show then ensued in the garden where there were flashes of light and balls of light and drops of light and chains of light all going on simultaneously. Big light balls, little light balls, white ones, blue ones, various other colors, flashes like flash bulbs going off. It's like a three-ring circus out there. And I was completely mesmerized, like, oh, my goodness, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, fireworks I've seen, but I've never seen anything like that.
No.
And it lasted for 10, 15 seconds, and then it stopped. Nobody had said a word by now. Nobody had said a thing. Turns out later, I'll tell you, the father was terrified. Parents kept sitting there, and I turned my chair more towards, you know, to watch this closer, and the tingling started again. And it slowly built up my body, built up, got to my neck, starts to be very bloody intense.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm thinking, okay, I'm out of here. And as I have that thought, at the instant, again, the tingling stops and the light show starts again.
Wow.
This scenario repeated itself. We're not positive whether it was 5 times or 7 times. I did happen to check my watch. The whole thing took 11 minutes.
Okay.
And there would be 15, 20 seconds of the tingling thing. Then there would be 15, 20, maybe 30 seconds of the light show, which in every case would suddenly just stop. And since nobody was speaking, nobody spoke a word during the entire thing, the only thing I did differently was I got up from my chair and stood up against the glass. These are floor-to-ceiling glass doors that bow out into the patio. And I was looking up, trying to see where in the heck all this stuff was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have quite the guts to go outside.
Yeah, I can imagine.
This thing went on, and then all of a sudden, the last one of them occurred. I have absolutely no idea how I knew it was the last time, but I turned around to Mr. and Mrs. Vandenbroek and said, like God talking, that's it, it's over. And they both looked at me, and I looked at them. I was like, oh, my God, what has just happened here? Well, I know enough to, I wanted to find out if they had experienced the same thing I had. So I separated them really quickly before we spoke about any of it, and I asked the mother independently to describe to me what she had experienced. Then I asked the father, and it turns out that all three of us apparently experienced exactly the same event. We saw it. We all had the tingling. We all saw the lights, and it appears in the same fashion. So that was my introduction to some of the kinds of things that go on around Robert.
Okay. Yeah, and we're getting close to a break here, so I want to break it. You also said you had some information that you've never talked about before.
I have several things that I've not spoken about before at all.
Okay, and that's the tease, all right? Because that's the thing. Some of this contact experience and the UFO experience has a lot of paranormal activity in conjunction with it, and the more people are sharing their stories, the more we're finding out that that's also a big part of the equation. So, Nancy, hang on a little bit, but if you're listening, this is Nancy Talbot. She works with BLT Research, and she's had a lot of experience dealing with the crop circle phenomenon in terms of researching why the stalks are bent a certain way. And you can tell the difference. Can you tell the difference between one that is manufactured or man-made versus one
Not easily. There's quite a bit of lab work that has to be done, but we can tell the difference, yes.
Okay. All right. So that's one of the things that does make a difference, having somebody research this kind of stuff. Anyway, so stick around. And if you're listening right now and you miss any of the show, you can always catch it on Wendy's Coffee House. We do a podcast, and that airs a little bit later. But this stuff is becoming so much more fascinating because we're finding it's not just a crop circle. There's more to it. There's something else going on, and whatever is producing it sometimes can be seen. And Robert is the first one I had heard about who actually was almost producing it just by being available or in the vicinity. It would show up, and that's why Nancy's an important part of this equation because she gets to talk about it, and we want to hear more. So stick around. Nancy Talbot is my guest. Again, more crop circle and paranormal phenomena on Wendy's Coffee House next.
CBS News updates at airports across the country. Vocal demonstrators protesting President Trump's executive order, in effect detaining residents of 7 Muslim countries. At Detroit Airport, WWJ's Lauren Bartold.
It sounded more like a sporting event than a protest, with the crowd erupting into cheers at each honk of a passing car. Thousands flooded DTW like Hadim Mahuba from Dearborn Heights.
So many people are not individually affected by this, but they're standing for it because they believe in humanity.
Protests lasted about 3 hours until airport officials eventually forced them out on an expired permit.
More than 1,000 flight delays in and out of the country today. CBS's Chris Van Cleef.
You've seen, in some cases, very large demonstrations at airports. LAX, for a time, had to shut down the arrival horseshoe, at least part of it, because of demonstrators up on the arrival deck.
And now, Delta says all domestic travel is grounded. CBS News Update, I'm Jim Taylor.
KCTV StormTrack 5 forecast. The accurate forecast you've come to trust.
As we head through the evening and overnight forecast, we will see some gradual clearing. Temperatures bottom out in the upper 20s to near 30. Monday's a gorgeous day. A lot of sunshine and much warmer with a high up to 56. A couple spots may challenge 60 to the southwest. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Chris Succi.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, 2 or 3 times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief, the best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-559-8226. 800-559-8226. 800-559-8226.
Optima Tax Relief.
Coming up Monday on the show, if you're tired of the Kansas City Star, an online counterpoint is launching Monday. We'll bring in Jack Cashel to tell you all about it. Greg Knapp Experience.
Sometimes you can't explain things, and they continue to happen even without explanation, because maybe there isn't one. Put a quote on the Coffee House website, and it seems to be all sorts of appropriate given what's going on. There are known knowns. There are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we don't know we don't know. Donald Rumsfeld is the source for the quote. And this is the stuff we don't know until we experience it. And when Nancy Talbot was sharing the story about what was happening with this experience at Robert's house, and what I thought was so fantastic was we didn't know, and we still don't know how it's happening, but we didn't know that the crop circle formula also included the paranormal activities in a house, like the stuff that Nancy's describing in terms of that vibration, that stuff that she was feeling in conjunction with the crop circle activity happening. And at that point, Nancy, was a crop circle being formed at that time?
No. Let me restructure this tiny little bit here.
Perfect.
The association with the crop circle phenomenon directly is that Robert is the only person yet known in the world who knows when and where they're going to come. He feels when they're coming. Usually, now he knows usually almost always where and what they're going to look like before they appear. But he doesn't always know when. Sometimes he knows as they're forming. Sometimes he knows a few seconds before. Sometimes right afterward. But that was the first connection of him to the circle phenomenon. What we, almost everyone in the circle phenomenon who has studied it seriously, knows that there is a causative agency and suspects that that causative agency has a consciousness. We do not necessarily, I in particular, and Robert and many others, do not in any way think of this as paranormal. There are aspects of normal reality that humans do not yet understand.
And this, I agree. Yeah, I like that definition.
Has something to do, we believe, more with the nature of consciousness, which is not yet understood at all, and also with a spiritual aspect that is not yet currently or not commonly currently understood in Western societies. All right, be all that as it may, the next morning, because my background was from the scientific standpoint, I'd worked at Harvard as a research analyst, I'd worked at the University of Maryland in that capacity. My involvement in the circle phenomenon for the first 10 years was nothing but straightforward scientific work with plants and soils, trying to figure out the energies involved and get some sort of idea of what might be causing all this. Then these events start to happen around. I'm allowed to perceive and observe some of this stuff that's going on with this Dutch kid. The next morning, after this event with the lights, my very first instinct was to go to three trees. There were three standing spruce trees on the side of their patio from which many of these lights the night before appeared to emanate, to come out of.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I wanted to do, in daylight, mind you, was to examine those trees really carefully.
Chicken, yeah.
No, I'm looking for, is there a setup?
I meant the daylight part of it.
That's been set up to show me, am I being tricked here?
Yes, yes.
And so I went out very carefully and examined those damn trees within an inch of their lives. And there was absolutely nothing abnormal or unusual. As I was out there, on the back of the house, I noticed a small birdhouse, which Robert had apparently made as a child, and his parents had put up, a birdhouse. And the thing had a metal roof on it. Well, it turns out that when this ball of light incident in 1997 had occurred, and I'm there now in 1998, among the burns that had occurred on the eaves and the outside of the doors upstairs, this burn mark had also appeared on the roof of the birdhouse.
Whoa.
Which they told me, as they were with me while I'm examining the trees, I saw the birdhouse and noticed it and asked about this, and they told me. And so I decided that I wanted to take some photos to document all of this, and I aimed the camera at the birdhouse, and I think I took one shot that was a real shot. And then the camera started taking shots all by itself, where I wasn't touching it.
Yeah.
It ran through. I had a brand new roll of film. It took, 8, 9, 10 shots. And then it ran through the entire rest of the film, exposing it, with me not touching a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hanging by its strap at this point. And when I got home and was able to develop that film, we found those were the first of the photo anomalies that I took, that, I myself took,
mm-hmm.
or my camera took, in the presence of Robert Vandenbroek. He wasn't actually with us, outside when I was doing this examination. He was somewhere else inside. His parents and I were outside in the back doing this examination. Well, the next year, I had to, you know, after this, I had to move on to do the next lecture in Belgium or wherever I was going. But the next year, I went back, and from then on, I would come every summer and spend time living in Robert's house to learn more. And the following year, during the interim, a man, an Indian man from Virginia, the tribe had originated in Virginia, and he was half Indian or maybe full-blood, I don't know. He had found a bunch of quartz-like crystals somewhere in a dry street, creek bed, which he said, called me on the telephone, that he told me he had been guided to find. He had dug in a place he'd been told to dig. He had found this cache of crystals, and he was then instructed that he was to give them to certain people, and I was one of them. Now, I didn't know this man, never met him. I never did meet him, but he sent me this crystal, and I thought, oh, this is so strange. I mean, my frame of reference was not this sort of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened I had the crystal with me when I went back to Roberts the next summer. And so I decided on a little experiment. I put it in a thin plastic bag, like a sandwich bag.
Yeah.
And I tied it to another tree that was in the backyard of Robert's house in this little garden. And I did this in broad daylight. And I hung in the tree waiting to see, thinking, well, gee, maybe something will happen. Maybe these light bulbs or energies or something will recognize that I'm at least acknowledging their existence. And I stood out there for, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour watching. Nothing happened. I got bored, went inside, and I had went upstairs to take a bath. Well, I had apparently no sooner gotten in the bathtub than Robert's mother and his younger sister, both of whom were downstairs in the kitchen where they could clearly see this tree, suddenly saw a bolt of light go shooting down from the sky, and this is broad daylight, probably 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, shooting right down to this crystal. It cut exactly around the crystal. It cut exactly the shape of the crystal out of one side of that plastic bag, just enough to allow the crystal itself to fall out onto the grass.
Wow.
The other side of the plastic bag was not touched. The crystal itself was fine. It was, and there is simply a hole. I haven't even written this up, but I will do this sometime soon. And, I mean, I didn't see the light tube come and hit it, but both his mother and his sister, they came running up the bathroom to get me to tell me about this.
That's incredibly precise.
The precision of it, and when you think of, I mean, the thinness of, you know, what a sandwich bag is like.
Mm-hmm. It didn't burn it?
Didn't burn it at all. It simply etched this exact outline of the shape of the crystal itself and allowed the crystal to then fall onto the ground.
That's impressive.
So that's the second incident, or third, because by now the film thing has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, in 2001, I get to see these tubes of light form the crop circle. Now, it's important to note that in the first incident in 1998, where the light show, the tingling and the light show happened,
yeah,
when that was over, both parents said to me, that was for you. I absolutely did not believe it. My very first reaction, my only reaction, was that that was a romantic interpretation, that in fact this was an extremely odd event, but that it was location specific. I was identifying it as simply occurring in a very specific location, but in no way took it as having anything to do with me.
Okay.
Then we come to, you know, this thing shooting down into the little crystal. And again, they told me, that's for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was your crystal.
And I'm thinking, nah, It was drawn to the crystal.
Cognitive
that
dissonance.
The light phenomena, whatever it is,
yes,
was drawn just to the crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then in 2001, you know, Robert and I are there, and I don't know that I've told the story on your particular show or not, but we both observed after me being, the two of us had been out in the field all day long doing work with geomagnetic and electromagnetic work for Dr. William Roll. And I was looking for these magnetic anomalies in crop circles that had occurred already that summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we had found nothing, absolutely nothing. And I had hauled this damn equipment all over the place. I was tired. I was annoyed because we'd gotten nothing, no data that gave us any information.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just annoyed.
Done, yeah.
And this particular night, it was near the end of my stay. Robert wanted to go back out into the fields and take photos in crop circles because he was by then getting these very unusual photos. I was so ticked off. I said, no, I'm sick and tired of this phenomenon. It's too hard to study. Why can't it be more direct? I'm going to bed. And I marched myself up to, I was staying at that time in his bedroom at the back of the house. It was hot as it could be. I'd open these floor-to-ceiling glass doors to let the fresh air in, got into the bed, and it faces directly out through these floor-to-ceiling glass doors, looking out over their little garden and then to these huge farm fields. And it wasn't, you know, but a few minutes before I heard the cattle bellowing down at the end of the lane. We know from hundreds of interviews I've done with farmers and landowners all over the world who have crop circles that if they have cows, if they have cattle or horses or dogs, the animals will get upset and carry on.
Okay.
And so when
okay.
I heard that,
Nancy,
I thought, oh
hold on,
my, something's getting.
We're going to take a break, okay, because the cowbell's a perfect time, all right?
Okay.
It's kind of like a little trigger. I wish I had a cowbell.
Okay.
We can do the sound effect. Okay, if you're listening, you'll just have to imagine because we come back. We're going to pick up with the cowbell, all right, with Nancy Talbot on Wendy's Coffee House.
When was the last time you had a really good night's sleep? Well, now you can with MyPillow.com. And this is the best offer ever. It's for a limited time through the end of January. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code KCMO, and you get two standard queen MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. These are the ones you can travel with for just $99.98. MyPillow.com, promo code KCMO. You get not one, not two, not three, but four for the price of one. Two standard queen MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows for just $99.98. Check it out, MyPillow.com.
Breaking news now.
They say it's not presidential to call up these massive leaders of business. I think it's very presidential. And if it's not presidential, that's okay. But we're going to have a lot of great people that can also do it and do it as well as I do it. But we're going to have a lot of phone calls made to companies when they say they're thinking about leaving this country because they're not leaving this country.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Okay, I didn't have a cowbell, but this is kind of magical. Okay, Nancy, you can...
It is kind of magical. When I heard the cows bellowing, I suspected, because I've been told this by literally hundreds of different farmers and whatever, but for some reason, I was going to get up and go stand on the balcony because I figured I could see whatever, but for some reason, I didn't. The cattle became quiet. I continued to read, and then the cattle began again very raucously, and I knew at that moment that something was getting ready to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to get up. I was going to swing my legs out of bed and get out on that balcony. Before I could do it, this brilliant, about 2 foot in diameter, absolutely straight tube of light with incredible force came shooting down into that field, right smack into this bean field, as close to my bed as you could get in growing crop.
Whoa.
And wham, it comes down, lit up the place like daylight, lit up the bedroom I was in like I was on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure where the light was going. And again, we're talking only a couple of instants, and I think it stopped. There's no noise. There's no anything else. And I thought, my God, did that really happen? And before I can even think to ask the question, wham, here comes another one, and then a third. Well, Robert was downstairs in the kitchen, and those windows look out in the same direction, and he was watching this too. And after the second one, he starts yelling for me because he's hoping, of course, that I'm seeing this too.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he comes running up the steps to get me, so he missed the third one, but I saw all three. And we went immediately out to the balcony to look up to see what these were coming from. And nothing. It was a perfectly normal-looking sky.
Mm-hmm.
So we ran downstairs, and I grabbed a torch, a flashlight, and Robert was positive that, you know, there was a new crop circle right there. I was too scared to step out, frankly. The force involved in those tubes of light was amazing.
Yeah.
But he finally did step out, and then he didn't get fried, so I went too. And we went to only 85, 90 feet to the back of this little garden, and there's a fence, a wire fence, and I shone the flashlight over. And as close as you could get, and in direct line with my bed, was a brand new crop circle. It was an ellipse, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And off the northern end of it went a capital letter T. Clear as a bell.
Wow.
And Robert looked at me. He said, that one was for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, I thought, no way. Absolutely no. I mean, I didn't understand it. I had no explanation for it. But the idea at that time that such a thing could occur literally to show me whatever it's showing me,
yes,
it was outside my ability to conceive of. I simply thought that was a romantic interpretation of what I had just seen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point I'm making here is that in those early days, in those many early, there are many, many constantly occurring experiences, I've been working with Robert now 20 years or so,
yeah.
And it took the first 10 with that sort of experience constantly, Robert and me sitting at a special field of his where he's seen things before, talking one night about the colors blue and aquamarine.
Oh, wow.
And then suddenly the energies are present. He perceives them. He knows they're there.
Mm-hmm.
He asks if he can use my camera. It's always my camera. I'm standing right with him, and I'm watching every single thing he does. And we got out of the car. We started to walk along the top of the dike. All I knew was that he had said the energies were present. He could feel them. Then he starts to shoot, and what comes on the camera? Blue, this beautiful, beautiful white light, brilliant white light, surrounded by an aquamarine light, surrounded by blue.
Wow.
Exactly what we had just been talking about for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Like something new.
This sort of thing. Now, we were talking about the colors just because we have... I don't know why we were talking about the colors, because we like them.
Mm-hmm.
It was that simple. We weren't trying to make anything happen. We weren't even thinking about anything happening. We were simply conversing about colors we liked.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, here comes this image, or multiple, there were 40 or 50 shots, that seemed to indicate that something heard what we were talking about, blue and aquamarine,
yeah,
and that something was deliberately showing us, in this case probably me, that it did hear, it was there, it heard what we were talking about, and it was letting us know by giving us those colors back. That sort of thing has happened so many times that maybe someone a little less dense than I would have gotten it faster. But it took me about 10 years before I could really accept what I was seeing with my eyes. Pictures of my own deceased brother appearing on my camera while I'm standing with Robert, watching him take them,
mm-hmm,
2 months after my brother died. The events go on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And eventually you get to the point, or I got to the point, where I can accept that it is real because I've seen it so many times. I'd have to be, deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid to not see that this is a real something.
I would, as stubborn.
As stubborn beyond belief.
Yeah.
Incredibly stubborn.
Yeah.
And now, of course, the thing is to understand better, if possible, what does it mean? There are lots of ways you could interpret all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, once you know that it's genuine, I mean, I've watched Robert take some 4,000 or 5,000 anomalous images of deceased people, of creatures, of UFOs, of light phenomena, you name it, and I've seen it with my camera and me watching him. I know he's not faking them. And, you know, all this other stuff that happens, you know, I've been with him when suddenly he'll come running into my room and say, we got to go, there's a crop circle coming. And he'll tell me we have to drive in that direction. He doesn't know exactly where, but just drive. He doesn't drive, so I have to drive him. And we go, and he'll tell me we're looking for a barn that looks like, or we're looking for a street sign that says. We go to whatever the place is. We find it. We stop the car. We get out. And sure enough, every single time, there's a crop circle right there.
Nancy, I got 4 minutes at the most. So is there anything, the important stuff you want to add?
Yeah, it is simply that I understand why it is. I clearly understand how difficult it is for people who have not had the benefit of such experiences to understand that they are, that they can be real. They're not always, I guess, but they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, that through this, slowly, I not only have come to accept that there is a consciousness external to Robert and me, which he's insisted from the beginning, and I personally have come absolutely to the idea, to the feeling that it is a spiritual conscious, a spiritually enlightened consciousness might be the way to put it, that is of the source of what many people call God, the Almighty, you know, whatever the name is, the concept is. But I feel that it is of that source, that whatever this is comes with that same loving concern for mankind and for and has the desire for humankind to recognize and live more deeply that aspect of life, that part of what we call life, the spiritual part.
Do you find yourself thinking in different ways now as a result?
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I know. We don't have enough time, but yeah.
Okay, you don't have enough time, but oh, yes. It's a life changer as you begin to understand the how large reality is, how much larger it is than you ever thought. When you, as you begin to understand that, it's a complete game changer.
Now, you're able to have these experiences without Robert around?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they things have happened in my life long before I met him, but nothing that nailed it, ran it home the way with the stuff around him. And it continues around him. He and I tonight had a conversation that is so moving that I'm still kind of coping with it, processing it myself. There are some beautiful, beautiful stuff available to humans who will look for it, who can look for it, who are brave enough to go for it and trust their intuition, trust their inner knowing that that there is a source, energy, consciousness, and that it is loving.
Even with all the chaos, there's still that wonderful sense of there's something else, something bigger, something so much more fantastic than what we're experiencing.
So much richer, so much richer. And you have to look for it. You have to be sincere. You have to work at it. You have to fight for it. But if you do, it's there.
Are you going to write about this?
It can change your life.
Are you going to write about it, Nancy?
I write about it constantly. I hope people go to my Facebook page. I am the Nancy Talbot in Cambridge, Massachusetts, when you go on Facebook, or go to the BLT Research website, which is just simply bltresearch.com, BLT like the sandwich.
Got it. Hey, you, thanks for joining us tonight. I really appreciate your information. If you're listening now, check out, we've got the podcast. It'll be uploaded, and you can connect with it at KCMO or Wendy's Coffee House. In the meantime, yeah, follow along. Nancy's got some phenomenal stories, also some video and some background on Robert so you can find out more, because this continues to happen. It isn't stopping, And the cool thing is, once you get past that cognitive dissonance, there's a whole lot more that you can enjoy and stop fighting that bigger reality that's right here. Till next time, stay curious, keep it positive, and hang in there. See ya.
.7 FM and AM 710 KCMO 101.1 KCFX HD2 Kansas City's most stimulating talk KCMO